The Tazria Mitzora, we're going to begin in Vayikra Perek Yud Beis, and we'll start with Pasuk Vav, and we'll read a unit of Psukim here that addresses the case of Yoledes and the Karbonos that she has to bring B'melos Yimei Tahara. So you'll find it in the Chumash here on page 275, Ubimlos Yemei Tahara Leveno Labas Tavi Keves Ben Shinasoli Ola Uvenyo No Osar Lachatos El Pesach Ol Moed El Akoin Vekrivo Lefnei Hashem Vechiper Aleha Vetahara Mimkar Dameha Zos Toras Hayoledes Lazochar Olanike Vavim Los Imta Yada De Sev Lakash De Sorim Oshne Bnei Yona Echad Liola Viachad Lachatas Vechiper Aleha Kohen Vitahera. Please notice, and we'll come back to this in Mirtz Shem a little bit later, that the Pasuk mentions the Karban Ola first and the Chatas second. We'll take a look at Rashi, but first, let's make the following point. The second Pasuk here in this series, which is Pasuk Zayin, tells us, Zos Toras Hayoledes. That's very strange. Those words, L'chora, should have been left for the end, for the Siyum of this parish of Yoledes, meaning after Pasuk Ches. In effect, the Torah wedges Zos Toras Hayoledes right here in the middle. First, it should have said V'imlo Simtza Yada, and then afterwards Zos Toras Hayoledes. We don't find anywhere in the Torah, to the best of my knowledge, something similar where in the middle of a parasha the Torah writes Zos Toras. In general, the rule is that when the Torah finishes with a siyum of a parasha, then Zos Toras. For example, if we take a look here in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Nun Tes, we'll find at the very end of Parashas Tazria, Zos Toras Nega Tzoras, Beged Atzemer Apishin Ashsi, etc., etc. And this Zos Toras Negataras comes at the very end of the Parsha of Tzoras. And yet here, in the case of Yoledes, we don't find the Zos Toras Hayoledes at the end of the Parsha, but rather it's wedged in the middle. So that's question number one. Why does the Torah present Zos Toras Hayoledes before the Siyum of Dine Yoledes? There's a second question that we want to ask, and we hinted at it before. In the Seder Advarim, the Torah writes here in Pasuk Ches, Ola first and Chatas second. Rashi points out, Lo Gdima HaKosev El Mikra'a, Rashi quotes a sugi in Zvachim, and it's on Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph. Amar Rava l'mikra hikdima kosuv. What does it mean l'mikra hikdima kosuv? Just as far as reading the Torah is concerned, in the chronology, in the sequence, I should say, the psukim in the Torah, Chatos comes after the Ola. Ola comes first. But as far as the Akrov itself, the Chatas comes before the Ola. So it's very strange that Chatas always, as a general rule, comes before an Ola. Whenever you bring those two Karbonos together as part of one set, it's always going to be Chatas first and Ola second. Almost as if the Chatas is a prerequisite introduction to the Machshir, the Ola. Here, the Torah puts the Ola first, and then afterwards the Chatos. And that's what Rava calls L'mikra Hikdima Kosuv. Rashi says L'mikra Hikdima Kosuv. This is Rashi in Zvachim. He says, Shetei Nikres Ba'inyan Tchila. Avo Bavo Dosam Chatos Kodemis. Kedamrinan. Ukramaran Miseh Binyan Av. Now Tosfos over there in Zvachim writes the following Mikroik Dima Kasuv Pirish Bekuntris Shetei Nikres Ba'inyan Tchila. Vitema. Ma chidush hu zeh. What is the chidush that the Torah is trying to be machadish that le mikra the ola comes before the chatas? Tosfos gives another approach to the whole sugya, but we're wondering what Rashi's approach is. Tosfos themselves admit that their interpretation is dochuk. So we're stuck with this Rashi, Epsal Locha in Hikdit Lemikra, Lemikra Gdima Kos. So we have already two questions. One is about the positioning of the words Zos Toras Hayoledes. And secondly, about the sequence where the Torah puts the Ola first and the Chata second, even though in the Avodah Nakrova the sequence is the reverse. Another point that we want to raise here and think about is that in these psukim, the Torah puts the Ola before the Chatas twice. If you take a look in Pasuk Vav, you'll see it, and then again in Pasuk Ches. In Pasuk Vav, we have Vimlos Tahara, etc., etc. It says Keves, etc., le'ola, and then it says tar lechatas. And then again, as we saw before in Pasuk Ches, echad li'ola v'echad lechatas. So it means that the Torah is very consistent here within a context of a few psukim to tell us that the ola comes first. Now, if Rashi wants to point out that for some reason the rule here is l'mikra hikdima, that the Ola comes first just for the reading, the Seder HaPsukim, then Rashi l'chora didn't have to wait till Pasuk Ches. He could have already made this point in Pasuk Vav, where the Torah has the Ola before the Chatos, even though in the Seder HaKrava it's the reverse. So why did Rashi wait until Pasuk Ches when he could have made that comment to Psukim earlier? Now, putting these questions on the side and looking at the Parsha and its content in general, we would like to raise what we consider the most fundamental question in understanding this Parsha. There's something very enigmatic about this Parsha. And perhaps if we can resolve this enigma, maybe we can get a derech in Avodas Hashem. What is the moment of time that engenders all these karbonos and the entire process of Tara? Where does the tumah begin from? What kicks it off? And the answer is Leda, the process of birth itself. Now, let's think about it. Leda would seem to be the total, shall I say, polar extreme opposite of Tumah. Tumah usually has to do with things that are repulsive, things that have to do with death. Here we're talking about bringing life into the world. And from a Jewish perspective, what does it mean to bring life into the world? It means a neshama comes down into a guf. I mean, that is one of the, if not the holiest moments that we can think of. A lofty, great moment. The moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down a neshama, a pure and clean neshama, from what's called in Chazal Yotzer HaNeshamas. The Gemara Brachos talks about it. There's an entire storage house of neshamas. Hashem takes this new neshama and brings it down. This is what we call Sha'an Nisgava. It's a very high and lofty moment. And yet, intertwined with this moment is Tumah. And that's something that's very, very enigmatic, very puzzling, almost disturbing. On the one hand, this is the greatest hour, the highest hour. On the other hand, it's an hour that brings tumah, and a very severe tumah, not a tumah of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, of full Yom. We're talking about a tumah of the full 7 days. So what is it? What inheres, if is there any message at all in the concept of tumas leida? Tumas leida, which seems so antithetical. You know, leida is anything but tmeah. Now, what I'd like to share with you, again, I don't usually quote the Eitz Hadas of the Reb Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, but it's brought down here in the Sefer Ma'amorei Kodesh of the Tolna Rebbe. And honestly, many of these concepts are beyond our grasp. They are very mystical and Kabbalistic, but perhaps if we put our heads to it, we can take something from it on our level, something that can relate, we can relate to emotionally. Reb Chaim Vital writes that Tumas Leida is a result of what he calls, and this is a very mystical concept, Zuamas Hanochash Hakadmoni. Now, Zuama means something despicable, almost something repulsive and contagious, diseased. I don't know any word that you could use that indicates contamination is appropriate for Zuama. In the modern state of Israel, in the modern Hebrew language, they use Zuama to refer to infections and things of that sort. And of course, we're talking about the Nochash HaKadmoni. Now, again, this is all based on Kabbalah. Chazal tell us that the Nochash peeked and he looked where he wasn't supposed to, and he saw Adam and Chava when they were occupied with private matters, and he had a tremendous desire, the Nochash, for Chava. Again, the Nochash back in the day, you know, the original Nachash was different than serpent today. He was the Aram, you remember, we call Chayas HaSodah. But now he was jealous of Adam HaRishon, and he had a tremendous desire for Chava. And according to the Balei Kabbalah, Ba'aleha Nachash, the Nachash actually had relations with Chava. The Hitil Baz Zuama, and that's the original source of that Zuama that we spoke about before, that repulsive, disgusting mush. Umisham Nimshach La Tumas Leda. According to Reb Chaim Vital, the concept of Tumas Leda is an ongoing expression or repercussion of that original Ba'aleha Nachash, that original Hitil Baz Zuama. And it becomes, the plot grows thicker, becomes even more complicated, because he writes that b'eis leida, whenever a woman gives birth, tachzar lavo ba zuamas nochash. In some symbolic sense, at the time of the birth, the zuam of the nochash somehow goes back and penetrates. And that's based on the pasuk, again a Kabbalistic interpretation, the pasuk lefetach Chatos Rovitz, which Chazal say based on this pasuk, the Pesach means when the baby is born, immediately the Chatos is Rovitz. The Chatos means the Yetzahara already enters into the body of the baby, and the Yetzahara is the same as the Nachash and the same as the Zuama, and all this comes into the baby with its birth. The Bereishis Rabbah records a question and answer between Antoninus and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Shol Antoninus es Rabbeinu. Me'emasa yetzer hara nosun biyodon. The Medrash wants to know, and this question was raised to Rebbe, at what particular point in time does the Yetzer Hara enter into man? We know that before the original sin, the chait of Eitz Hadas, the Yetzer Hara and the Nachash were external to man. As a result of the chait of Adam HaRishon, now man is unfortunately, there's a penetration of the Yetzer Hara, which was external, and now becomes part of man's makeup. It's internal. Yetzer lev Adam ra min ha'urov. And Rebbe answered Antinonis by telling him, Misha Yetzer mimea imo. Oh, and I'm sorry, this is still part of the question. Is it Misha Yetzer mimea imo? Oh, ad shalo yotze mimea imo. Does the Yetzer Hara enter before the birth or with the birth, simultaneous with the birth? Amalo, he responded, ad shalo yotza mimea imo, even before the birth itself. Amale lav she'ilu hayanasan bo ad shu b'mei imo hayachotet es b'nei me'a v'yotze. So Antoninus raised an objection to Rebbe's assumption, because if I accept that the Yetzer Hara was nasan bo, was already placed into man before the birth, while he's still in a fetal stage, then probably what would happen is that the baby would be a very dangerous guest to be hosted by the mother. He would like dig into her insides until he could finally find his freedom. Again, the premise here is in this kasha that the fetus is not complacent, you know, waiting for the divine decision and the appropriate time to take place when he can be born. Yeah, he wants to, in a very autonomous way, decide his future, and he wants to get out of there. V'hodolo Rebbe. So the Medrash says, V'hodolo Rebbe, that Rebbe accepted the argument of Antoninus, Shehishvol das hamikra, that he really has a pasuk to support his approach, Shenemar, Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min ha'urav. It means that the Yetzer Hara enters into the person min ha'urav. Ne'urav means at a young period of time. It doesn't mean in the fetal stage. And Rav Yudin supports this even further. He says that min ha'arav ksiv. What is na'arav? The word min ha'arav can reflect on a time period in the baby's life, in the child's life. Correct, but it also has another meaning to it. Lina'er, right? Mishashahu nina'er latseis mimea imo. You know, when he starts the process of pushing out from the mother's womb, ba'osa shakal, at that point, kvar matil ha'yetzahara erso. The yetzahara that before the chait was external to man now enters into man, into his very makeup. Uma'ariv bo'tumah v'tarovis ra. Man himself now becomes a hybrid, a combination of both good and evil. So again, these are all very Kabbalistic concepts, but I think what we have to understand to take away from this is that there's what we call Aliyah v'Kotzpah. There are two sides to Leda. On the one hand, Leda is the most wonderful, marvelous, incredible experience, because now the Neshama comes into the Guf, and it comes from on high. But on the other hand, the flip side is that happens to be the moment simultaneously with the neshama coming into the goof, the Yetzer Hara goes into the goof. And that's the challenge that man faces in being a hybrid being. You know, he's made up of two elements that battle one for the other, which will reign supreme. And in the next paragraph, he quotes the Kotzker, who was the father-in-law of the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkot Shavuot. He said to his son-in-law, Heich neshama kedosha haba me'olam ha'elyon. How is it possible that the holy neshama, which comes from the higher worlds, acher shalomta, and it comes down into the goof, and now at the time of birth, this is the culmination of a 9-month process of Talmud Torah, Shalomda imamalach kol ha-Torah kula, V'nishlecha li'olam hazeh al yidei borei olam. I mean, it's not just that the neshama happens, you know, by coincidence to come down into this world and enter into the guf. This is all part of a divine plan. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shutafut, there would be no possibility of the neshama entering into the guf. Because male and female, father and mother, can only create the body. They can't create the soul that comes from the outside of neshama. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it down. V'hine miyad im yitziyosa. He metames es ima hatuma chamura. Immediately with the birth of the fetus, which culminates a divine process, the tuma itself, and a very severe tuma, it's 7 days minimum. Heich dovash en nishlach miyado ha-psucha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The being, the fetus that's now entering into this world and is born, which is part of a divine plan. He calls it Nishlach Miyado Apsuchas Al Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's being sent down here through the open hand of God. Is Metame Tuma Chamura Kazu? It's almost as if Chas V'Shalom Hashem Himself is generating this Tuma. It doesn't make sense. You know, Lo Yered Milamala Ra, right? As the pasuk said. So the Kotzke responded to this question from his son-in-law, and he said, Miyado, from the hands of God, lo teitzei haros. And he responded to him in Yiddish. So the Kotzke responded in Yiddish, de tuma bashafter men shalem. That this tuma is not something that God created, but man created. Now, when he said to him, man created, it doesn't mean that this fetus, which is totally, it's a being that's totally guiltless and pure, creates the tuma. I think he means men shalem. He's referring to Adam HaRishon, right? To man as a capital M, you know, the human race. Man is responsible for evil. Tuma doesn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man himself creates tuma in this world. And it's all a result of the chait of Adam HaRishon. He writes, "Kol maase v'chol pu'ula me'urav bo tov v'ra." And as a result of man's low fall, every action of his, and it sounds to me that he means even a mitzvah act, has in it a mixture of evil too. It's not pure good. I don't know if he would refer to Moshe Rabbeinu in the same way. I don't know. V'al kein, from the very first moment that the baby is born, already there's a battle between these two forces, the Koach HaTov, which is the spiritual force, and the Koach HaRa, which is material and physical. And this is coming to teach us this concept of Tuma, the essence of man in this world. Man himself is a combination, a mixture of good and evil. And this reflects itself in all dimensions of man's behavior. From the moment that he's born until he dies, he has to somehow get rid of the elements, the sparks of evil that within him. Levarer, all of life is one meleches boher. And that already begins with his coming into the world. So honestly, when I read this, I felt a little depressed. You know, it's sort of sad to see that the Yetzer Hara is so powerful and enters immediately. But on the other hand, you know, man was created to face challenges, and it's not a picnic. Now, it could be that in other philosophies of Yadus, maybe there's a more positive approach to this. But at this point, it's kind of a little bit of a down. But I think the rest of this Maimar, the balance, is going to be, in a sense, an antidote or a counter argument against this. Meaning, adrabba, because of this tuma, man is given a great challenge with an amazing potential. So he starts with the Sfas Emes here in Parshas Tazria. The Parshas Tazria, the Medrash here in Parshas Tazria speaks about Simcha. And V'yisfur anov b'Hashem Simcha, what is Simcha referring to according to the Medrash? That's Bris Milah. Right, because at the very beginning of the Parsha, the Torah tells us, V'yom Hashmini Yimol B'Sar Alasa. And one of the Rishonim asked Rabbi Akiva, which is more beautiful? You know, a seed, or a shibolet, or a gluskama, a gluska yofa, you know, it's already a baked whole roll. And the Medrash goes on to relate an entire dialogue back and forth in which Rabbi Akiva tried to say that it's not the gluska that's superior. The gluska is already a done deal. It's the creation of a gluska. When Hashem doesn't give us a final product, you know, just go up to the tree and pluck it off and you have a roll to eat. No. Hashem wants us to go through all these difficult processes, you know, from Harisha to Zriya to Ktsira to Tchina and to Lisha and so forth to create a gluska. That's the product of man's creation. And that's exactly the Simcha Bris Milah. You know, you ask, well, why did God create us incomplete? God wants man to create himself. That's the challenge that man faces, and that's going to bring him Simcha. That's the Simcha Bris Milah. And once Adam HaRishon sinned, and the Torah said, "Vazeas apechol tochal lechem." Now the word lechem has symbolic meaning in the Torah, because lechem also refers to zivug, like we saw by Yosef HaTzadik. Halechem asher hu ochel, which is a reference to Tishas Potifera. So the word lechem has a symbolic meaning. V'chein b'shneim nemar itzavon. Both in terms of man eking out a living and producing bread, and the process of birth, the word itzavon is used. B'etzev teldi u'bitzavon tochlena. All this is indicative of the fact that as a result of Chet Adam HaRishon, in a two-way, two roads or two parallel pathways, man has to, with great itzavon, you know, itzavon here doesn't mean depression, I think itzavon means sweat and toil, you know, to overcome challenges, to produce bread, to produce children. You know, this is above and beyond what Chazal say about a woman, a yoledes, who takes upon herself an oath, you know, that she'll never want to have children again. She's suffering so much from birth. We know how dangerous birth is. He writes, V'hi ha'arla, that the concept of milah is a result of the chet of Adam HaRishon, of this taroves of Ra, meaning Adam HaRishon was nolad mohu. According to Chazal, in his original natural state, Adam HaRishon was created mohel. You know, he didn't have to sweat and toil to produce food, to produce bread. She didn't have to go through all this anguish to have children. And there was no need for a mitzvah of milah. Everything was a gluska yofa. Everything was a final product. That's before the chet. But everything changes with man's chet. Rak al yidei chet Nimshach ha'orla. As a result of sin, the orla was created. It was spontaneously generated. And this is the remez, Adam HaRishon Moshech bar Loso Hoya, that he himself created the orla. V'lachein nitzrach lios gam tikun b'koach ha'adam. Man now has to actively rectify his imperfections. Uksiv asol kim adam yashar. Man was created Yashar by God. Yashar b'chinas Mila. L'yishrei lev Simcha. Simcha is always connected to Mila. And Yashrus. Yashrus means complete. Achema bikshu cheshbonos rab. But man tries to outsmart. You know, instead of taking everything b'tmimus, with simplicity, he's got to, you know, he's got to lachtor, you know, he's got to lachtor mi lamata. You know, find some way of outsmarting. And therefore the pasuk tells us, Ishaki Tazria. What role does she play here? I mean, after all, we've been talking about the chet of Adam HaRishon, but the answer is that she herself, Chava, plays a very important role. She, in a certain sense, is the instigator, the cause. Aisha Husav, Why? Because she tempted, after she ate, she tempted Adam. And therefore, Etzev told thee. Now we get to the more happy and optimistic part of this presentation. This I never heard before. That Mila itself represents, in a sense, going back, retracting in time to the supernal light that radiated at the time of Adam Rishon before the Chet, when everything was perfect. In other words, man through his sin created Yitzafon, and now the Mila is the opportunity of, and symbolic represents the opportunity given to man to perfect himself and to reverse the situation that happened and go back to the situation that existed of Simcha and Yishrei Lev Simcha. He called Etzev Ba Misitra Achra. The Etzev is always a result of the powers of evil. Ukmochein B'machol V'Itzavon Tochlena. And so too, when man has to work so hard and desperately in order to produce his food, that too is a result of the Yetzahara of the Sitra Achra. And this is all quoted in the Sefer Shem Yishmuel in the name of the Kotzker. The Shem Yishmuel was the grandson of the Kotzker. Okay, now we've set a certain framework, a certain, in a sense, historical sequence, but also a spiritual domino theory of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, what was before the Chet, what was after the Chet. Now we're ready to swing back to the parasha of Tumas Leda. And again, the Tumas Leda, which represents the Yetzahara that enters into man. And the Torah repeats itself twice, that the Seder HaKorbanos, in the process of Tara here, for a Yoledes, begins with Ola, ends with Chatos. That's what it says in Pasuk Vav, and again, in Pasuk Ches, Echad Li Ola, the Echad Li Chatos.
Interesting that they're actually doing that the opposite way.
Correct, that's what we started with, yeah. And that's really what this Maamar is all about. Why did the Hikdimal Mikra, Rashi says, which based on Gemara Tzvachim, when actually in terms of the Avodah Befal, it's the opposite. Chatos has to come before Ola. And that's what the balance of this article is coming to answer. He says the following, that we know in Kol HaTorah Kula, the universal rule is that Chatos has to come as the prerequisite, the harbinger for Ola. And why is that so? The Gemara tells us in Psachim on Daf Nun Tes, V'hikriv Esa Shel Lechatos Rishona. Ma Talmud Lomar, Im Lelamit Shetei Kodemes Li Ola Rei Kvar Nemar, V'es Hasheni Yasa Ola Kemishpat. El Ezeb Binyanav Lechol Chatos, Sheyu Kodmos Lechol Olos Habos Imohem. Even though a behemah is usually a more significant carbon, much more impressive and bombastic but than an oaf, a little bird, but nevertheless the chatas has to come first, even if it's a chatas oaf, and the ola is going to be an olas behemah. And the logic is supplied by Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara in Zvachim. Why is it that the chatas must come first? It's almost like you can't take an advanced course in math unless you first take the prerequisite, the introductory course in math. It's a machshir. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon, Chatas lamabo lifnei ola lepraklit shenichnas. Meaning, if you are being judged for your sins in front of a court, what you need first is a praklit, you know, some defense attorney who's going to present your records in a very positive light. Ritza praklit, if the praklit as your defense representative is successful, then nichnas doron achrov. The ola is a doron, is a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you can give, but first, who are you to give a gift to Hashem? Hashem doesn't want your gift, because you're being held guilty for a severe sin. Again, even though you did the sin b'shogeg, he says the following: What is shogeg? And again, he quotes the Gedolei Hasidus, but we know this from Halach itself. Shogeg involves a pshia, an element of negligence. If a person was absolutely given over the mesiris nefesh to the Torah and its observance, he would never be nechshal in an isur shogeg. Shogeg is a result of his carelessness. And even though a person is a total shogeg, that shgaga begins, its original source, is zilzul and kalas rosh. He's not being careful and meticulous about the halacha. The yari, if he was really overwhelmed by an awesome fear of God, of chared mipnei ir v'nidnud iser kal b'yoser, lo yikashal, he would never have sinned, even in an unintentional way. Raglei chassid of Yishma, Hashem protects those who are pious, who are dedicated and loyal, who are very meticulous with mesiris nefesh, from any sort of sin. Val kein, even in the case of a shogeg, first he's got to bring his chatos, and then he can bring his korban ola. The shogeg is mechuyev to bring chatos because he needs a proklet. He needs some sort of defense attorney. He's going to present his case. Without that ritzui, how can he have ech yisapanov? How can he have the chutzpah to bring a dara on the funav? And therefore the proklet has to come first. L'ratzos u'eschanein, first there has to be a petition to remove any blemish, any guilt from the sin b'shogeg, and then rak acher kach, then he can bring a doron. You have nun beis, right? Okay. But let's ask a different question. True, I grant you that chatos has to come before the ola. But which carbon is greater? Can we classify them? Inherently, which is greater? And he says the following. There's no question in this particular presentation that ola is superior to chatos. Ola, which means that it goes up to Shamayim, is kulo kolil. There's no part that's given to achilas kohen, zechekuno, or to Yisrael. Ein labayim klumba, the one who brought this carbon ola, has no place, no part in it, no chelik in it. It's bilti lashem levata, totally dedicated to Hashem. It's achilas mizbeach and nothing else. Chatos, on the other hand, is not ole kolil. Some of it is given to the kohanim. It's kochi kochim. Nimtza, it turns out, in the cheshbet here, that karbon chatos is on a lower level than karbon ola. Again, if we were allowed to classify the hierarchies of karbonos, ola is really on the top of the totem pole. Why? Because the real challenge of man in his avodah throughout his life is birur, we said before, meleches borer, means to get rid of anything that might be distracting or removing some of the good, to set all the good as separate, all the nitzotzei kedusha, and dedicate it to Hashem. Lahafrid ulevares chelkei atov v'nitzotzei kedusha. And therefore, in truth, he would have to bring the karban ola before the karban chatos, right? Because we always say that the greater honor goes to the one that's more kadosh. But he doesn't have the possibility of doing so, because in practicality, he needs the praklit to come first to be meratze. As we said before, he's got to make sure that he can bring a karban that's kulo kolil, that's the ola, that's got completely free and purified of any sort of nitzot of evil, because until you siphon out that evil, you don't have pure kedusha that can be given kulo lashem bilti lashem levado, and therefore the chatos really prepares the way for the karban ola. Acher kach, after he brought the chatos, he can be worthy of the madriga bringing a korban ola. Ein biyicholus adam agashmi lagil lideis davkus legamrei bebore kol alamim lios kule ola kolil lashem l'shem Hashem beli sheavi kodem lachein esachatos. So on one level, conceptually, in an abstract world, ola should come first. That's the ultimate goal. Chatos, though, is needed to prepare the person and the korban to make it worthy for becoming a korban ola. And now we can understand that Yoledes, at the point in which she has undergone the process of purification, she has removed her contamination, she brings these two korbanos, the korban ola and the korban chatos. The ola as a gift, acknowledging the gratitude and praising Hashem for the unbelievable miracle, the miracle of miracles, of having a child, of giving birth, a child who is sanctified, another person to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael, the holy nation. All the scientists and all the gynecologists and all the labor coaches cannot explain in any way how this happens. How does the neshama go into the goof? How does a life force enter into a dead body, a material body? It's a nes mufla. She's going to bring with her birth and her tara a korban ola. Kulo kol Hashem. Why? Because she was zocha to this great, lofty, holy moment to bring into this world a new neshama into a goof. But that's not enough. It's not sufficient to bring the korban ola. She needs to bring a korban chatos, because the Gemara says in Masechta Nida, "Shalu talmidavis Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai." Now that she's still guilty of a certain sin, as we said before, she took that oath, and that oath is a result of the taroves of Ra with Tov. That's because the Yetzer Hara immediately gets involved over here at the time of birth. And how can she be ready for a pure, holy korban ola as a gift to Hashem without first bringing a chatos? Amar lahem, b'shosha koras leled, kofetzes v'nishbash, she takes an oath, she'll never have a child. Lefichach, I don't know, today with epidurals, I don't know exactly how to understand this Gemara, but in a modern contemporary world, but there are plenty of women who give birth naturally. It's Lefichach Amr Torah Tovi Karban. Omek Ha'inyan Hazeu Sharei Satan Hu Yetzahara Hu B'Sha Kedosha. When does Yetzahara attack us? When we're up, when we're on a holy, right? Kol Shagolcha Le'er Yitzhara. The Yetzahara wants to hit us when we're on high. We're in a lofty place. He's Matil Zuama. And this toxic Yetzirah penetrates into the being, and it also penetrates into the mind of the Isha. And it's unbelievable how the Nachash and the Zuhamah and the Sitra Achra, the Yetzirah, the whole gamut, they just take over the whole scene, the mother and the baby, everything. And the Yetzirah wants as much as possible to deflate, you know, that beautiful holy moment of Kedusha, of lofty Kedusha. And he's Matil Zuama. And that forces her to take this oath, which is unfortunately not an oath that she wants to take. And again, you know, when we sing here the power of the Yetzirah and the necessity of bringing a korban chatos before you can even dream about bringing the korban ola, we might, chas v'shalom, despair. And once again, the purpose, as I said, of this mimer is to give us faith and optimism. Alo l'isha Yisraeli l'tia'esh chas v'shalom bavur godol ha'avoda. Meaning, you know, you're looking at a very, very tall mountain that you have to climb, and you're thinking, how can I get above that mountain? Everything in my life is just a mixture, you know, shava b'shava, an equilibrium of evil and good. In every single act that I do and perform, there's going to be some sort of machshava ra. There's always a tarovus of mashu, of ra. Ki odom ein tzadik baretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta, Shlomo Melech says in Koheles. And therefore, mi yomer zachisi libi tarasi mechatasi. How do I know that my heart will merit a pure ability to overcome sin? And therefore, man chashol might come al saf hayeirush. Mikomakom roil oli adam leida es mama rabitar from viovos. Lo lecha amalocha ligmar. Don't think that you can complete the task. Viata ben choron li bottom minute, but still, you are not free. You have to face the challenges. It's tough. You have to garnish your energy. There's no room for laziness here or lack of faith. And therefore, the greatness and the awesome task in front of man should not bring man to a state of yeush, to despair and throw in the towel. He knows, and he's being told up front, he won't be able to complete the task. You know, we're learning now in Kiddushin a Gemara about Rabbi Tarfon. He was so great in his Kibbut Avayim, and the Gemara says to him, "Adayin lo yigil achatzi kibbut." So you think to yourself, if that's not even half a kibbut, what is kibbut? I might as well throw in the towel. And Rabbi Yochanan say they were lucky because they were born without parents. But no, you can't. If you have parents, Baruch Hashem, and you have to step up to the plate, live up to the challenge, do the best you can. You know, I can promise you up front, Chazal promise you, you'll never be able to complete the task. But nevertheless, the main responsibility here is kisufim. Right, kisufim means to have a tremendous desire. I think in Adon Olam, if I'm not mistaken, let me just see. I say Adon Olam once a week, but I still don't know by heart. I know by heart, but only if I go from the beginning to the end. Let's see if I can find it. Tell me they don't print it here. Oh, great. Maybe it's after Shabbos Musaf? Where are they?
Isn't it in Shachar? In Shachar?
Oh, they put it in Birchot HaShachar early. Not at the end of davening. Oh, here it is. It's a slightly different word than I was looking. Okay. It says, V'achrei kechlos hakol. So I thought it was kisufim, but I think kechlos also means a kind of tremendous craving or desire, no? Lagia, what is he craving? What is he desiring? To reach higher and higher levels, achieve a lofty madrega, to try to separate from evil, to do this bira that we spoke about and remove the kedusha from the opposite, from the ra. Rav Elazar ben Pratya and the officer of Nosan Omer, tzadikim notel mehem yetzahara v'nosen lahem yetzatov shenemar libi chalal bekirbi. Libi chalal bekirbi means my heart melts away inside of me. It's almost as if I give up hope. But the answer is no. Shlosha lo shalat em yetzahara elam avram yisuk v'yaktik sivu b'chol mikol kol b'chol mikol kol yeshom rav David sivu libi chalal mikirbi. In other words, the Torah is teaching us that we cannot give up hope. The derech that we should go on, the ma'isa that we should do b'chol ini b'chol esu b'chol shah ein lecha dover katan v'gadol b'chol dor v'dor b'chol nefesh miyisrael shal yimtzel is a tshuva v'tar seido akadosha. It's true that the Torah says lefeta chatos rovets, but nevertheless, the Torah says bring the karma chatos and then bring the ola. That's called dibra Torah koloshim b'nei adam. The Torah is speaking to man, knowing that in this world he's going to have to. He doesn't have a chance, an opportunity of bringing the ola without the chatos. And in karban yoledes, when the neshama, the pure neshama enters into the world, the Torah is already hinting to this fact. There's tumah, and it's surrounding the child, but nevertheless, the child has the possibility of overcoming the evil forces, of subjugating the Yetzirah, of ascending to the greatest levels, of akiras ra legamre, he says, v'bchinas libi chalal bekirbi. And therefore the oledes brings the carbon ola first, really, in a sense, on a conceptual level, she should be bringing the ola first, Makdimas korban ol korban chatos laharo sheyesh biyecholus adam lios bibchinas ola kodemis lachatos. Again, the Torah itself says that she brings the ola first. Right? It says it twice. In truth, she's not going to bring the ola first. But why does the Torah teach us that she's bringing the ola first? Because her first message to the child with its birth is that really you should be bringing an ola. Your whole life is dedicated to bring to the task or the goal of bringing an ola, which is kulay kolil, to be mevarer all the kedusha and get rid of all the tumah. And therefore, perhaps we can understand Rava's statement in a brand new way that we started with. He says, "Lemikroik dima kosov." Rashi says, "Shetehe nikreis ba'inyan tchila." That as far as Kriya is concerned, we read the Ola first. As far as our avodah is concerned in the Beis Hamikdash, Rashi says the Korban Chatos Kodemes. After Yenochinami ba'avodah Chatos Kodemes, which is the universal rule. We need the Praklit before and the Ritzu before we could possibly bring a Doron. Nevertheless, we tell man, this is the message we want to convey and transmit to man, should be a cholto, he should be aware of his potential. He could reach the level where the Ola comes first, before the Chatos. He doesn't need a Praklit Hamaratza. He has the potential of reaching a level in which, if he's very careful and he's very dedicated and loyal to Hashem, he won't need the Chatos and the Praklit Tchilo L'Ratzos. In a Nitzra L'Gomen Sheshet Tishar Tfisus Yad Bailin, El Yachol Agia L'Chdei Ola Kolil Hashem, to a life of Dveikus Gemura in this, in a world of Chai Olamim, meaning that he'll be worthy of the eternal life. And that's L'Mikra Hikdima Kosov Shal Kol Panim Yikra Adam. At least we should read it in the parasha. And what are we saying to man? The Yeda, that man should know what should be his ideals, what should be his aspirations. Shish tokek, he should have a passion and a desire, lagia lichdei midazu, to the mida of a korban ola. And now in Mamari HaKodesh, he wants to add another point here to this, another layer of meaning perhaps, to the mikra hikdima hakosuf. The emphasis here is mikra batorah, like reading the Torah. He says that the tachlis of man in this world is to receive the Torah. And the tachlis of the Torah, on the other hand, is to uplift man, like bio ularomimo, to take him out of the physical, material world that belongs, that's common to the animal universe, and bring it up to the level of a spiritual person, which means to remove the Yetzer Hara and replace it by total dedication to the Yetzer HaTov, Libi Chalal Bekirbi. And Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omelem Yisrael Bonai, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Ubarasi Lo Torah Tavlin. On the one hand, we're depressed because the Yetzer Hara goes into us immediately when we're born. We don't even get a chance to develop ourselves and fortify ourselves. But the answer is, there's an antidote to the Yetzer Hara, and that's the Torah Tavlin. And that's l'mikra hikdima akasim. Mikra means, for the sake of Talmud Torah, a person he's dedicated to the Torah, then he's not given over to the hands of the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. And perhaps through kriya, through yigiyah b'Torah, a person can reach this level of ola coming first. And perhaps that would answer another question. Rashi, in his comment about why Ola comes first, waits until Pasuk Ches, Echo the Ola v'Echad L'Chatos. Why did he make the same comment two Pesukim earlier, where it says Bimlos Yimei Tara is Ola and then Chatos? He says the following. The first Pasuk is talking about an Ashira. She's wealthy enough, she can afford a Keves Ben Shnosa. The second one is already talking about a poor woman, Lotimtza Yoda Deisev, Lokashte Torah Moshne Bnei Yona. And he says the following. When the Torah is talking to the wealthy woman, the Ashira, what does that mean? And who is the Ani in the second pasuk? He says the following. The Gemara Nedarim says, Ein Ani Ela Bedas, that the word Ani has both a simple meaning and a symbolic meaning. An Ani Bedas is someone who has been left bereft of Torah knowledge. He's, you know, his pockets can be, pockets of Torah can be turned inside out, there's nothing there. And therefore Rashi waits for the second pasuk. The Ani Bedas, who has Madregos Nemuchos, he needs that extra chizuk of the Ola, of the Korban Ola. Gam hu yochal ratzos v'lichsov ulagil edarga shel kedimas ha'ola. Ein lecha adam Yisrael ani v'evyon kechol sheyeh. And he doesn't mean it financially, he means it symbolically. Sheinu yochal agia lakdomas ha'ola lechatos. Ayidei limud ha'Torah. Limud ha'Torah is Marashi Kilas Yaakov. Every Jew has a chelik in it. And if this be the case, then perhaps we can answer our original question. In the middle of this unit, the Torah wedges in those words, Zos Torah Sayoledes. These words, Zos Torah Sayoledes, should have come at the end of this unit, after all the laws of Yoledes are brought down. In the same way that we saw at the end of Tazria, the Torah says, Zos Torah Negat Hatzaras, after, at the siyum of all the different halachos of Negat Hatzaras. But the answer is, he says, if the Torah had interwoven both categories of Yoledes, the Ashira and the Aniya, and then it would have written with regard to both of them, Zos Torah Sayoledes, we could make a mistake, and we could possibly think that the Ola, which comes first, and that's made possible and feasible by the Limud Torah, that's only as far as an Ashira is concerned. She has plenty of money, she has plenty of das. In her stature and status in life, she can have aspirations to reach the highest level of bringing an Ola first. But the Oledes Aniya, no. She doesn't have a shot at it. And therefore, the Torah wrote Zos Torah Sayoledes to first, in a sense, close off the Oledes Ashira and to open up a new parasha of the Oledes Aniya Imlo Timtze Yodeshtei Torim Oshnei Bnei Yona. Lachzor V'lichtov Bob Yofim Miyuchad. The Torah wants to repeat on behalf of the Aniya the Inyan of Ola Kodemes Lechatos, to teach her, to reveal to her, that as far as Hashem is concerned, there's no Aniyus. That the Aniyah is like the Ashira. And they have a possibility of reaching the highest Madregos, in which the Ola comes before the Chatas. And he adds, Yehem V'aldehem. Notice this is a message, not only for the mother, who doesn't have enough, or in the pocket or in the brain, in order to bring the full Korban Ashira, but it's also a message for the child. And that's what he adds the word Lialdehem, that even the children of such a family can still successfully reach the greatest levels of Torah knowledge. And doesn't it say about Hillel that he was so poor he couldn't even pay the entrance fee into the Beis Medrash? He's one of the greatest Tanon that we have. And he closes by saying that what we should learn from this parasha is Totzaot Chayim V'Tokachot Musar, to teach us the proper ethical way of a religious Jew. Derech HaNechona V'Torah V'Avodas Hashem. On the one end, we have to know that we have great challenges to face. You know, it may be a little bit depressing to know that in every action that we do in this world is the tarobes of the chelik hara. And sometimes that chelik hara is merubah. You know, in Hilchos Bittul, maybe it wouldn't be batel merov. But a person also has to know, and he has to recognize very, very well that he's being sent here on a shlichus. And it's a very special shlichus. He has to prepare himself in his mind to recognize. To set for himself a pattern of life, goals in life, based on, and reflecting his abilities, his talents, his potential. He should forevermore be elevating his wills and his aspirations. Leida shal af matzavo hashafel be'emet adayim v'yecholto lichsof lahagia l'darga gvoa b'yoser darga shal ola kodemes l'chatos. He won't need the proclit for ritzui. V'yeit naskil elech v'derech hazov. When we accept upon ourselves this challenge to go in the golden path, leida shiflus arkeinu v'dalos matzavenu, on the one hand recognizing that we are shfelim, you know, we are hita bazuama, but im kol ze lishof lishtokek lidovek bechaye olamim ola kol el Hashem. We have the possibility to aspire and to desire with a great deal of energy and passion, dveikus, with chaye olamim, meaning the eternal God, to bring an ola that's kol el Hashem. And he ends with a tefillah. Yirotzen shenizke lehochin nafshoseinu lekabolas haTorah besimcha. Amen. Ken yirotzen.